And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 177. Today's episode is a Black and a Half reviews edition. I have with me today the very funny, funny man, fellow nerd, Dylan Cole with me to review the movie Dune. And then I, just myself, I'm going to talk about the movie, new movie out this weekend, A Needle in a Time Stack. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. And sometimes I do these Black and a Half reviews editions where I review movies, and that's going to be going on a lot more lately, or putting reviews in the episodes. We got some format changes that Samantha and I have talked about. Samantha's out on assignment today, of having more, because I got to get more reviews out there. As some of you know, I'm now a member of the Seattle Film Critics Society. And so, and with that, I was able to get in my press credentials. So I'm now getting access to interviews that I didn't before and movies before they come out. So hopefully that makes more of you want to come and listen right when a podcast drops to hear about the newest movie coming out. Dune's not coming out for another 2 weeks, I believe. Needle in a Time Stack comes out this Friday. That's on video on demand only. So yeah, so sneak peeks that we get that you're getting here now on Black and a Half. So if you like the show, please go and go to Apple Podcasts and give us a nice 5-star review with some comments. We actually write something in there that helps a lot. And also, if you really want to financially put your money where your mouth is, you can go to our Patreon page, Black and a Half, patreon.com/blackandahalf. And for as little as $1 a month, you can become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. And for a little bit more, you can become a Inner Circle member, you know, and you can get a shout out on the podcast, like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Thank you for being Inner Circle members. And that's going to get you premiere access any day now. I'm going to be dropping a short film we shot for the 48 last year. I'm going to be giving it to the Patreon listeners first, and then to everybody else, but it's coming out very shortly. And yeah, that's it. That's how you can support us right now. Silas got hacked on Facebook, so I don't have, with that, I got the Facebook account with Black and a Half is also shut down right now, but we do have Twitter. And for some reason, because of a weird thing I did pre Facebook Instagram merger, the Black and a Half Instagram page is the only one I can access right now. So go follow that, I guess. You put stuff up there. But until then, yeah, just hang tight with us, folks. So we're going to have the theme music by Aileen Perron in a second, that she did for us years ago, and I'm so thankful for that. Listen to that. And right after that, we're coming back for episode 177, Black and a Half Reviews.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Prosper. Yeah, and here we are. Dylan Cole, welcome to the program.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it was exciting. You got to come see Dune with me.
Yeah, it was my first press screening. That was my first early access ever in my life.
Oh, and, really?
Movie that I've been... I can't think of anything else. I was thinking about it after we left. And then, of course, it's a movie that I've been waiting for 28 years.
Is that when the first one came out?
Because I read the... No, that's when I read the books. I was... Okay. Yeah. the first book. And yeah, like I told you, I had started with the glossary and moved on from there. Yeah. Kind of wish the movie had.
So yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Before we get to that one, I'm going to talk about a little bit about this other film that we did. So I got to see this. I was getting this press announcements about it, and it's not coming out in the theater, so there's going to be no press screening. So they sent me a press. One of those. So here's the thing, Dylan, this is funny. When you get a press screener now, they're online, you know, and they track you. They track to make sure you're not. They make sure that you've watched it and that it is not being distributed by you, that you're not the bootlegger. So they put not only their logo like in the middle of the screen, like upper top of the screen, it has my name there. So yeah,
we
so
are specifically watching you watch this. Kind Silas of like so.
If it's in, you know, so if it gets a bootleg and it shows up in New York and it says Assassin Santa Cross, they knew who the leaker was. So it's funny, and I've seen those before, but I've always seen screenings with other people, so I wouldn't see my name on there. So now that I'm credentialed here, I'm getting my name on it. But it was so the film's called Needle in a Time Stack. It stars Leslie Odom Jr., Cynthia Erivo, Orlando Bloom, Frida Pinto, and Jaden Wong. Now, Orlando Bloom is a smaller role in it. He's definitely a supporting character in it. It was nice that, I don't know, Dylan, sometimes I feel like when people become stars that they're not going to do small roles anymore. And it was nice to see him in this, because he did first off, I didn't even know it was him, because it was my I knew he was in it, but I was waiting for him to show up. But he was so transformed to this character that I didn't even recognize him for a while, until I was like, when's Orlando Bloom? Oh man, that's Orlando Bloom. Holy crap. Oh, this is good. And it's not like he's like it's not a Billy Bob Thornton kind of thing, right? He was just being a normal person, but just so different from, you know, his Lord of the Rings persona, you know, that like, oh, that's him. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I don't like you. You know, I don't like this character. Written and directed by John Ridley, based on the short story of the same name by Robert Silverberg. Apparently this guy, John Ridley read this a long time ago, and he's been wanting to do it. So it's been an itch for a long time. And so he's finally got to do it. I don't know if John Ridley's related. I haven't been able to look him up yet. If he's related to probably wouldn't be, right? To Ridley Scott, even though they have the same like Ridley, like what? As a kid, I used to think that. I thought people were related if they shared a name at all. You know,
I mean, my Uncle Bob Dylan can tell you all about that.
Exactly. That's what I would have thought. I was like, oh, are you related? Okay. The runtime is 111 minutes. It's rated R. The story, according to them. I think it's really interesting how they describe the story versus what the story is. Okay. If love is the form of a circle, what lies would you cross? What lines would you cross to be with your soulmate? In this gripping near-future love story directed by Oscar winner John Ridley, Nick and Janine, Leslie Odom and Cynthia Erivo, live in marital bliss until Janine's ex-husband, Orlando Bloom, warps time to try to tear them apart using Nick's college girlfriend, played by Frida Pinto. As Nick's memories and reality disappear, he must decide what he's willing to sacrifice in order to hold on to or let go of everything he loves. Can love endure in a future where time is fluid and all of life may just be an illusion? Like, that's the, like, back cover, I guess, of whatever they're gonna, of the video when it goes out, right? But like, so here's the story. And I'm a sucker for alternate reality story. I love alternate realities. I love messing with time. I love all that. This is somewhere in the near future, because we are like using advanced forms of Alexa and that type of device, right? But it's not like things don't seem crazy futuristic, except for apparently time travel is something being done by the rich. Like, because it's so expensive, not you can't afford to it. And there are rules on what you're supposed to follow. I don't know how they're necessarily enforced. There's some indicators that they have figured out ways to learn to a degree what time things have changed. So you can even get like, you can get time insurance to protect your memories in case something happens. Like somebody goes and alters the past accidentally. But you can like spend your life savings maybe and buy a ticket to go time travel. So it's not very often that people would do that. Usually it's just a luxury by the rich that get to go. I think they call it time jaunting or something. So this guy's he's married. They love each other. They say sweet things to each other. He always asks her like, "I love you so much. Like, I wonder like if I walked into a room and didn't know who you are, would I still love you when I saw you?" And he always says, "Yes, I would." Like that's how much he loves her. So he's married, and her ex-husband sort of blames him for taking her away. Even though they kind of divorced and then she ended up with him, the ex-husband thinks if he wasn't around, they wouldn't have stayed together, right? That's what we get from them talking. And he's a little bit into the story, there is a time, like this wave happens that everyone can see, like this big kind of wave almost of electricity coming, and it comes through them. And so everyone's like, "Oh, there's a time there. That's a I forget what they call it, but like a time wave." And so they go like, "Okay, everyone." So everyone goes and like breaks up the meeting they're in and goes and calls their loved ones to make sure like everything's okay. And it sounds like you have like 15 minutes to a half hour that you can retain your memories of what happened so that you can call someone and say like, "Okay, so we have a dog, we have a cat, we have whatever, we're married, we have two kids, like what's going on?" But then after that, like your memory starts fading. So that's the world we live in. And that's the dilemma. This guy thinks that this rich guy who became rich, her ex-husband, he thinks, and he has a feeling because like when your life has been affected more, like you have a more physical reaction, whether it's throwing up or get a bloody nose. Like, but if the time wave hurt your friend, but it didn't affect you really, you don't really feel it. It's like, "Oh, that was weird." But if it hits you, you know someone's messing with your timeline to a degree. So we see that happen to him, and he's convinced that it's the ex-husband. And even go so far as to say, like, well, they're at home and they're like, "Why do we have a cat? I don't like a cat. I don't like cats. Why do we have a cat? I feel like we had a dog." And she thinks he's nuts, right? Now, this is far enough in the movie that we actually saw before he went to work, he had a dog. And now he has a cat with the same name, right? So we're like, he is getting fucked with. And so that's what the movie's about. And him dealing with this and confronting the guy and makes decisions. And it is like, it's very inventive to me. I'm not familiar with this kind of story. Like it's definitely a different spin on time travel. I've heard of stories where just the rich could do it, but like, not to like to this pretty, it's like just to try to get your like ex-wife back. Right. It's not like, I'm going to go back and get rich, or I'm going to go back and do these things. No, this dude's rich already. She left a rich guy and he's just so mad. Like, how she left me and I'm rich. Why would you leave me? And so he's like, he's trying to do things to get this woman back in his life. Yeah. So I really liked it. So I was talking about the three best things about a film and the three worst things for me. Number one, I love the whole concept of this thing. I love the story. Two, Beckham, sorry, not Beckham, Leslie Odom Jr. He does a marvelous job in this film, and it's the second half of the film, which I won't say anything about because I don't spoil on here. He rocks it as an actor. I am feeling for him and what he's going through as a result of what happens in the film. And he was like, I think he's always been like, oh yeah, no, he's an interesting actor to me, but he kind of won me over in this film. Like, next film that he's in, I'm gonna go see it because I'm excited to see what he's gonna do. He was just so, so believable and so nuanced in it, and his transformation during this film. And I love when an actor can transform, make you feel, and not in just like I said, the Billy Bob Thornton way, where he's like a really just a completely different person necessarily, but how you're subtly different in your life because of different choices that you had made. And so you're subtly different, but clearly a different person. And number three, I would say, of my favorite thing about this film, I love that it's a story that makes you think, which might be a cop out because I say that about a lot of time travel type films, but these alternate reality stories, they get you thinking a lot. And so particularly if they're done really well. And I think overall this film was done really well, and I'm kind of like, I get it. I think it was lower budget. I was trying to figure out why did this not get a full release? And I think it is COVID, because I don't think there's room in the slates for anything other than what they think might be a blockbuster right now, that they don't want to bother spend the money on the marketing for these films that are like lower budget, because they're not going to make the money back if they spend money on marketing. So they're not going to bother distribute it other than video on demand. And I hope it gets seen on there, because this could be a little gem. I could see this film taken off as a little bit of a gem of a film that people don't, that sort of talk about, and you see popping up on Amazon Prime occasionally. You're like, what is that? What? Huh. I'll see that when it's free, you know? The three worst things about it. And I hate that with some of these films, because I do really like so much about it. I don't know how you achieve this in this amount of time for a film, but there is an element of backstory that I didn't quite get. Like I believed them as they were there, as they were love, married and in love clearly, but I never got to see them really fall in love in the film. So I got to see the results, but not how they got there. But clearly, I mean, they established the love, and that was great. They didn't have a lot of time for that, and they did it really well. But I would have loved to see how these two actually fell in love to begin with in the prime timeline. I think Orlando Bloom did great in the role. And this is probably, again, a story problem, but I wanted to know how they thought this solution was going to really work for them, because, and which I'll put on with number three, is like, I don't quite get how the rules of this time changing work. They touch on it a little bit where he goes to save memories, but I'm unclear like how memories can get retained in other time. Like, I would love to know more about these protections and how they can know in these laws. And it just does seem a little too easy for people to go back and change history. And feels like there should be more consequences, like around what's happening. Like, are changes that minor, or what were they? I don't know. But that's dig. That's, I mean, I will say those are feeling nitpicky. Then I like to talk about a lesson that I learned from a film. And I'd say the lesson from this film is, I think that love finds a way, much like a dinosaur resurrecting. That love finds a way. That's the only one I'm going to use for this. And my final verdict on this, final word. I think this a sort of time hopping adventure. Is a delightful movie that deserves more distribution than it's getting. Definitely check it out. And then I always give a three. I have the 3L system here, Dylan. I love it, like it, or lose it. So love it. That's a film you get out of the theater and you call somebody and you're like, you got to go see this film. You go on Facebook, blast about it. Everyone has to. Like it can be broad, right? It's the movie that you'll sit and watch. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a good movie, right? Sometimes it's a horrible movie, but you should really watch it, right? And lose it. I wasted my time so that you don't have to, right? So don't go near this. Don't stream it. Don't waste your time with it. So I like to caveat whether I would tell someone to, like, hey, I like it, you should check it out while streaming. Like it, I'd even pay for a stream, or, you know, like it does if it's free and it shows up. I don't know the different grades on this. And I'll say I'll give this a love it. I really enjoyed this film, and I think it's wonderful. Am I a different person now? No. Was anybody in here Star Trek? No, but I still have a lot of affection for this film. I really loved it. And that's it. I don't know. So I'll put I should put that trailer up for people to see. I'll put the trailer up, and hopefully some people will watch it because of the trailer. And then yesterday, Dylan and I got to see Dune. The definitive. Would you say this is the definitive version, Dylan?
Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic. It, yes, is the definitive version at this point.
We talked to you about, or we talked to earlier a little bit about, like, you've been waiting for this film for 28 years. Was that, so I assume that means the first one that came out didn't quite meet what you would envisioned?
I didn't watch the Stephen Lynch, right?
But I think so, yeah.
I had a brain moment, but yeah, I didn't. Not till I was like 17. It was years after I read it. I wasn't in charge of the DVD player in my house in high school, or I guess it was probably still VHS. We were a little cheap.
And you didn't like just go grab it at some point? Like, I mean, I know we're not in a world. Yeah.
Found a copy eventually at a buddy's house on beta that we watched. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it was like 17, you know, it was still probably 8 years of age before anyone normally watches a Dune movie. Dune was up there with like Lord of the Rings with high school stuff I read. Dune.
Yeah. You mentioned the glossary. Yeah,
this one really summed up a lot of it.
Yeah. You mentioned the glossary needed for this. I guess I'll get in that a little bit, but okay. So the Dune we're talking about, 2021, releases end of the month, I think October 29th. 2021, a PG-13 is a whopping 2 hours and 35 minutes of entertainment. And the log, it stars Timothy Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, Skellen Skarsgård, Stephen McKinley, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem. At that point, I think they're not stars anymore. Oh, but Dave Bautista's in it. Shout out. I love it. I love when Dave Bautista's in anything. Directed by Denis Villeneuve. I don't know. I think it's French, but Denis. I'm like, Vinny?
What? Denis.
Yes. Yeah. I guess it's Denis Villeneuve. Writers, the screenplay by John Svats, Denis Villeneuve, and Eric Roth. Of course, Frank, based on Frank Herbert's science fiction novel. The log line says feature adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction novel about a son of a noble family entrusted with the protection of the most valuable asset and most vital element in the galaxy, which is the same thing that Han Solo smuggles, right?
Yes. Maybe like not. I mentioned, Star Wars got a lot from...
I was like, it's all about spice. And I was like, spice? Oh, that's what Han Solo smuggles. As a kid, I thought that was salt. Like, why? I don't know why they're fighting about salt and pepper. Wasn't until like actually a few years ago I learned, oh, he was a drug trader. I didn't know that.
What? And also, you know, just spices was enough to build a global empire on just a couple hundred years ago. So there you go.
I'm addicted to that cumin. It's, man, the film is, it's a lot of movie. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like it went faster than it. It did not feel like 2.5 hours.
Right.
If I hadn't drank in that lemonade, it wouldn't have felt long at all. The first part I didn't need a glossary for. I would have been handy to have a little. Who was that again? Which house? Okay, the house of who?
They don't pull any punches right out of the gate. They're just like verbiage.
I'm like, whoa, okay. But I will say I followed it quicker than I thought I was going to. They scared me a little bit, especially when they start off with narration of what's going on. I was like, oh, there's so much. They're narrating it. Oh, my God. But then I felt like at very least I got the gist of, okay, they're in war against this house. Okay, I get it. I've seen Game of Thrones. I get how this thing works. There's houses at war and something, and some king or an emperor is trying to do some political maneuvering. Okay, I get it. So I get the spirit of what's going on, even though I wouldn't sometimes know exactly who do they think did that? Why would somebody do that? Okay. I think I got the gist as somebody. I would have. My wife and I were questioning it because she didn't see the movie, but she's read it because it's her dad's favorite book. If this film has so much to it that it was like, is this the right format? Is the film the right format for this? Should this be an HBO over budgeted series so that we can follow it? Like, is a film the right medium for this, do you think?
Yes, right now.
Right now.
I don't know if I would give that same answer in 5 years. Because it feels like the push it takes. I'm not a film buff to the point where I go out to the theater much.
Yeah.
Like when I'm deciding like it, love it, there's a big exposure part at that right now.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's going to keep driving the quality of home streaming
right
up and up and up, because it, of all the other reasons, it's safer. the director was really vocal about how this was not going to be an acceptable movie to be on demand, that you needed to see it in the theater. He was beefing with the HBO Max release possibility because he's Warner like, Brothers? No, this is a, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is.
Okay.
Well,
plus the whole don't tank my film. So, yeah.
Right. And so it's hard to know like what part of that to take seriously is if it had come out on the home streaming, am I like not, of course I'm not going to not watch it.
Right.
So it's weird. But I mean, it was beautiful on the big screen.
Yeah.
It was an incredibly immersive experience at the theater that I don't know if it would have been at home. I knew the story that was coming and I was still wrapped up in the story.
Yeah. I just can't imagine having the fear for these sandworms while sitting at home sipping tea. You know, like I think there's a vulnerability in the theater that I feel like allows, I mean, oddly, there's a discomfort in theater, like you, because you can't be distracted by anything, that you're focused on this.
You
just think it's
anything.
So much more intense, every feeling. That, yeah, I totally get why. Like, don't. I mean, I have that feeling on almost all films, though. But like, these lavish landscapes, and let's be honest, it's the phone. That's what we don't want as a filmmaker. We don't want someone watching it on this. That's what we're not as afraid of somebody with a home theater, right? Even the sound bar, which is sound bar ain't no home theater, okay? But it's the how many people are gonna stream it on their phone and their iPad and be like, that's not this film. You can't get wrapped up between like, oh wait, I got a Facebook notification. You can't. So I get the wanting to force people in the theater to want to see it, especially. Ironically, the nerdy fandom that's going to want to see it, like oh, go see it as it should be in here in the theater. I get that.
Yeah, definitely was amazing to have the worm screaming in your face.
Yeah. Oh, and theater. Speaking of screaming, let's mention the whole film. Oh my God, is it loud? That's a loud film. Like they should hand out.
I'm glad
out.
You opened this up because it's made me feel so old ever since.
Oh my God. Well, it's funny. I feel like I'm getting a little numb to it because I feel like they keep turning up all the music, the sound on everything. And I'm like, I'm getting older. I feel like I'm a harder time hearing things in general. And I'm like, well, I had no problem hearing anything in this because that was so loud.
Yeah.
Might still be ringing a little bit. Like it did make the silent portion stand out a lot more, but I'm like, no, you literally, I feel like could have gone half of this and I'd been fine.
No, he was totally using a lot of the bass for vibration. Like there was a lot of bass that was there for atmospherics, not for music. It was like, oh, there's a sandworm near. Oh, there's is that bass.
Well, and then like, there was, look, I would go to that soundtrack. 4D theater if I wanted that. Like if you want to shake me, I have places to go for that.
Friend of ours was talking about the 4DX, and I really think this movie might be another one. When I went to watch Infinity War, I was thrown out of the seat at one point by the 4DX. When the ring ship crashed on Titan, I found myself upon the floor. So, thinking about
like a roller coaster. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wow, that would really be a ride. So I'm looking forward to it.
Very loud film. Now it is part one. It says when it came up, it said Dune part one, which I, not following the story about the movie at all, because I wanted to be surprised since I had never seen it and I've somehow avoided everything that's ever come out about it. I wanted to be completely surprised. And it said part one. And I was like, motherfucker, what? I'm not going to get the whole story, but then I was like, well, it'll probably wrap up or something. I was a little like, I'm torn about where they stopped it, because I mean, they stopped at a point that I'm like, well, I want to know what's about to happen. Right. So that's good. That's good to draw me in for the next one. But I was kind of like, wait, what just happened? Was that enough of a, was that the climax? Like, what, where's the endouement? Where, I feel like you just stopped it. You just hit stop. The event that happened immediately preceding that did not feel like such a giant moment. I think for the character, I knew it was probably a huge moment for one character, but it didn't seem, considering the ravageness that had happened before then, it felt like, didn't feel like as big of a battle.
That is definitely a theme of the book, is this, the giant galactic empire of political machinations and how it can all revolve around one person's decisions. So that's kind of like the big explosive thing that felt like it could be a finale was huge, but it's just as huge as a personal moment terms of how this story moves.
Hey, I'm a new critic. I'm a family expert.
Like you said, there was beats before that were literally more explosive, bigger.
Yeah.
And could see, like, you know, at a Marvel movie would be the ending. It's like, that's the biggest boom that's going to happen. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Honestly, knowing the story at about 2 hours in, I was like wondering where they were, because there's so many like moments that change people. How are they going to pick which one to
edit on?
And I can't wait. Like, I hope it did the same thing to you, and I know what's going to happen. I still can't wait to see what happens next, because
I told my wife where
they it did ended. They're doing a great job of telling the story. Yeah.
Oh, good. I told my wife where it ended once I found out she had read it, and I was like, "Oh, so they ended here?" And she's like, "Interesting. Oh, what? What's going to happen?" Okay. So let me hit my top three, my favorite things about the film. I do love the world building. It is great to see, like, it's such a rich world that we were exposed to. I loved the pace of the mystery. There's a mystery for, there's a mystery for, Paul Atreides. what the heck's his name again? And I look,
it is pretty, it's pretty funny with all these other names going on, and all of a sudden it's Paul and Jessica, like the popular couple high school.
Are you kidding me? I didn't even notice that. I was like, oh, what was his name again? I was just thinking the last name, like Paul. As Paul's discovering himself, like, I felt like the reveals for what he is or is to become were nearly perfect. Like, it kept, like, they never revealed too much at once, just like little tidbits, little hints that I was like, I'm guessing at. I thought that was wonderful. And three, I'll just say the spectacle of this, it was the massive, it's a visual treat for any sci-fi fan, sci-fi fantasy fan, like crazy spaceships, crazy battles and choreography. It's just a visual treat. And like, I'm talking to my wife today about CGI versus, you know, just in general, it's like, well, I love practical effects over CGI. I couldn't even, I mean, I can only tell you stuff is CGI because I know it had to be. Like, but for all I know, that was a creature in the sand, a practical, like, that they raised from birth. I don't know. Everything looks so good on film. Yeah, I'd say it's a visual treat, and that's why I think people should see it in the film in the theater. Yeah, so those are my top three. Do you have a top three things that you loved about the film?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, hit me. What you got?
Top three, the ornithopters is the first thing. I know that sounds weird, but the planes, the dragonfly
helicopter
planes,
thing. Yeah.
That's exactly how they were described in the book. And I had no idea how they weren't going to make it look dorky.
Uh-huh.
And they were badass. Like,
they were.
They were more badass than I thought. They've really used them for the story. They I loved the ornithopters.
Yeah. They're terrific.
Jason Momoa is easy to like, but he did a great Duncan Idaho, again, from someone who loves the books, like really, really took that character on. And everyone, really, it was an exceptionally cast movie. Isaac is Duke Leto is a real Caladad. I love that joke. I don't care. yeah, there should be a third thing for sure. And it should be different than visuals, but it's really not. It's hard to say something different than that. Well, it's
doesn't
beautiful.
Have to be. We can love the same thing. It's,
yeah, like the only person that could hate this movie is Anakin Skywalker. everyone else would love the sand in it. Would love the sand in it.
That's a great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was cool.
Can I borrow that joke for Comic-Con?
Of course, okay. Take them all. I only use them at tables anymore.
Yeah. Okay, then I got to hit my worst three things about the film. One is the sound. It's just it was really loud. Turn it down. Number two, I will say at first it is a little daunting. Both the names of you trying to figure it out and the pacing is a little slower to match that. Maybe so you have time to wrap your head around stuff. There were a few moments that I worried that I was like, oh, is this going to be a real sci-fi slow film? Is that what we're in for? Is this one of those like? They go, oh, I thought I liked sci-fi, but it definitely picked up as it goes, and it was probably appropriate for world setting. And number three, I mean, it's only 2.5 hours. I wanted to know Momoa's character, Duncan. Duncan Idaho. How do you have a space movie with somebody named Idaho? The Earth doesn't exist, but Idaho does? Okay.
It's an earthy character. He's a real potato.
I would like Duncan and Paul to... Duncan and Paul, like, I didn't get know how... There's clearly this huge affection there and a backstory, but it didn't show up there. I mean, the results were there, and I accept the results and a clear affection and mentions that he's usually the person to stand in for practice, but I didn't get to see it, and so I didn't care about the relationship necessarily because I didn't have a reason to be bonded over their relationship until I accepted it. But I want to see more, and it's probably in another one of the 26 books about Dune or whatever, however many there are. Those are the only spots that I nitpick. Did you have anything you didn't like about it?
Yeah, sure. I'm a grump. I can find stuff about anything.
Let's give me your top three. Top three.
Okay. Okay. So as someone with bladder control issues, they highly contrast the majority of the movie being in the desert with very wet sequence up front and a lot of like loving shots of water when they happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you'll go to a movie next to someone who's drinking a giant lemonade.
Yeah.
So what I recommend, the water did get me. Like I went to the bathroom just before the movie started. And even so, like by the time they were leaving Caladan, I'm like, yep, let's go somewhere dry. Let's get the fuck off of this soggy bitch. Wow. My language just took a turn. Sorry.
It's fine.
Let's see. Something about how they wrote Lady Jessica. I really liked Rebecca Ferguson's performance, but like the writing kind of in the book, she has a lot more agency and she's a lot more directive of what's going on with Paul. And it just didn't translate out. And I thought it was kind of a bummer because Lady Jessica's a very strong character, and though she's running a lot of this shit.
I wasn't sure how to feel about her because sometimes it did feel like she's not in control here.
And the writing left her really reactionary.
I've seen her in a couple other things, and it seemed like she was doing her thing. That's what she likes. So I was like, oh yeah, this is like when she was in that series about the surgeons, plastic surgeons. Like she reminded me of that. I wasn't sure about I wasn't sure if I liked her or not. I liked her a lot more by the end of the film than I did earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, this woman's got secrets. And then I'm like, wait, her husband knows. Oh, wait, he knows. It's not a secret.
Stuff in the David Lynch, David Lynch version of Doom, a lot of that got handled with like voiceover interior monologues between people.
Interesting.
So I'm definitely glad they didn't go with that tactic again, because that was just like so like the thing, like the shout out Mapes isn't as heavily in this as she is in the books, but that's because a lot of it is interior monologue and they weren't just voiceovering that in this one. And I'm glad, even if it made some cuts, it's like it was so cheesy in the David Lynch version.
Yeah.
It was so cheesy. Did I say three?
Probably. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you did. I think you did. Okay, lessons. Lessons from this film. I'm sure there are many. These epic sci-fi have lots of lots of lessons. And I feel like there's a lesson about trust in this, about who you trust. I think you learned that the line between trust and betrayal must be drawn in the sand. Maybe. I think there's just something, I think going in, these scattered villagers, nearly everything is not as it seems, right? I think that's a big because we know early on, like, I think they're underestimating these people, and we find out like early on, like, oh yeah, you think that's what they are, huh? A few scattered villagers? No, there's a lot more to them than that. So I think it is one of those, don't assume what you know. Because in the next film, I think in part two, they're going to say, If you don't know, now you know. All right. That's what part two is going to be. Any lessons from this film?
Beautifully summed up. Let's see.
Like, I don't know if you can separate from Dune. I don't know if you can separate from what
all of Dune,
from what you know already.
This one movie
versus just this. What's this? That Zendaya is fabulous.
Yeah. Really, just it's such a well casted movie. Lesson from this movie is just do what you do excellently. It just made an excellent version of Doom. They didn't, you know, it wasn't Jodorowsky's Dune with crazy visual interpretations. They read the books, clearly loved the book, made a real tribute to the book in a movie. And I can't wait to see the next one.
That's awesome. Did you know that Hans Zimmer, who scored it, turned down his friend and frequent collaborator Christopher Nolan? He turned him down. He didn't do Tenet so that he could do Dune.
I believe it. It sounded like Hans Zimmer. It was vibrating off of me.
And then, okay, final word on the film. Oh, I did this is what I did. This is my PR quote, right? This is where I want to put my PR quote all the time. This fantasy trek through the desert will whet your appetite for what's still to come. Because I'm like, I gotta get in some pun. I gotta do a pun, right? If I'm gonna make it in this world, I gotta come up with some good movie puns or something. I gotta start watching other movies and come up with like what would my quote have been like. I'll be back for this film. I tell you, folks. That's my final thought on the film. Through my three L's, I'm going to give it three L's, love it, like it, or lose it. I'm giving this one also a loved it. I did love it. I think I love it more. And this is why I actually didn't want to film right after, because I think I would have just given it a like it yesterday. But the more I think about it, and then sat there and absorbed it, I'm like, oh, I think I really love that film. That's a really, because I want to watch it again. And I'm old, and I've been like, I don't want to rewatch any movies because I don't have the time. But like, no, I'll take my daughter to see this. I want to talk about this film with her. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I want to talk about the film. And for me, that's a love it sign that I just want to. Ooh, can we talk about this? Cause that's interesting. Like I can't, that's why I'm torn about doing a movie review show. Cause I was like, I think I want to do a movie critique show where it's completely spoiled. Right. So that I could just talk about everything in the film. Cause there's moments that I'm like, I want to know, but you may know, and I don't know. Yeah. You might know because you've seen the future of it. So that's where it's exciting. Like with my daughter, she'll be at the same level as me, having never seen anything about it, but wants to see it because Zendaya is in it and Momoa's hot. She wants to, you know, that's why she wants to see it. And I'm like, what about the artistry? And am I going to assume that of the choices of love it, like it, or lose it, you would also give it a love it?
I think you can safely assume.
I think you said that. Yeah. I think you said it a few times. So yeah,
it's great. Yeah. It's really good. I'm glad he got the stuff worked out. Where it's screening where he wants it to.
Okay. And Dune, its release date is it says October 22nd. I guess that could be true. It says it's now officially released on Friday, October 22nd. It did premiere on the Venice International Film Festival September 3rd. So it's already come. I think they moved it up because I didn't think it was a. So yeah, the 22nd. So still a few days early, coming out a week ahead of time. Oh, yeah. So come check that in theaters everywhere. Did we say it's not streaming? That's the term, right?
I thought that's what they came down with, was the theatric release.
Okay. I think you're right, because I didn't think it was going to WB. I thought, HBO Max. So yeah, check it in theaters.
It'd be quite a catch if they got it on the WB.
Yeah. Warner Brothers. Oh my gosh. So yeah, there we have it. The two movie reviews for today. We got Dune. Both Dylan and I give it a love it, and then Needle in a Time Stack. I give that a love it. Dylan hasn't seen it. It was my secret one for today. That's again released video on demand this weekend, the 15th of October. You can check that out wherever you pay for your films. whoever does that, silly people. Thanks for listening to this Black and a Half Reviews edition. Thank you, Dylan, for stopping by to guest on this. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And hopefully
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be some more nerdy stuff that I can bring you to and we can chat about this year. So there's a lot coming. Hopefully we can make them. So
always happy to do it.
Thank you. And out there, everyone, thank you for listening to Black and a Half.
Live long and prosper.